Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 225 of CJ Evolution. Patrick here. I'm the host and creator of this show, growing because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for sharing it with your family and friends and spending time with me when you could be doing something else. If you're listening to me right now on a commute or on a workout, thank you so much. Special thanks to all those first responders out there. Brave men and women who work in a very difficult environment, you are much supported. We love all of you. You're doing a great job. Keep up the fantastic work. I can't believe that the podcast has over 4,000 Twitter followers now. If you want to get great guidance regularly on leadership or entrepreneurship or things we're talking about in the CJ field, just follow us at Pat_Fitzgibbons. We share a lot of cool ideas on there, and I answer questions pretty regularly. So just head over there and see what it's all about. You know, I'm so excited. Again, partnered with Four Sigmatic, a great coffee company. They not only have amazing coffee, mushroom coffee, but they have other cocos and elixirs that you're going to love. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. You follow that over, you're going to get 15% of all your purchase products using the promo code CJEVO. So excited to have my next guest on. He's a Navy veteran and now super successful entrepreneur. And I'm sure you've seen this guy somewhere before. Grab a paper and pen. Take some notes for this great interview. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everybody. Very excited. Super pump to have Eli Crane on the show. If you don't know who he is, he's the CEO and founder. Him and his wife own Bottle Breacher. It's one of the fastest growing veteran-owned and operated businesses in Arizona. Eli is a former Navy SEAL. And they were on Shark Tank a while back, and I'll let Eli explain that. Eli, you there, sir?
Yep, I'm here.
Did I miss anything in that bio? Did I give you due justice or what?
Yep, that'll work.
Eli, thanks for your service to this great country. Everybody listening appreciate it. We know you're a big supporter of veterans, first responders. I think you've given over, you know, you've donated to over 200 nonprofits, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for your service, man. I mean, the one thing I always wondered about, you know, because I've talked to a lot of Navy SEALs, what are some of your biggest takeaways from your time in the teams?
I think, you know, some of my biggest takeaways are, you know, we have something in our ethos that says a common man with an uncommon desire to succeed. And mm-hmm. most people, when they, you know, when they talk to Navy SEALs or they meet one, they have this kind of, they built up this persona in their head of just some superhuman being. And, you know, I can tell you firsthand that, you know, we're all common men, and that's, but we do have an uncommon desire to succeed. And I think that's what a lot of times gets lost on people. And so, you know, I try and always remember that I am a common man, and my stuff stinks like everybody else's. And failures and struggles like everybody else. And, but I don't give up. And, that's pretty common with, that group.
And the one thing I found it fascinating about you is that when you first, you went in and you tried out for the teams, you didn't make it, right? I mean, you went in with this attitude. I remember hearing an interview where you kind of weren't giving it 100%, and you kind of got recycled into another, class, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of, for a long time in my life, I had this kind of, you know, half-assed, lackadaisical attitude. I'll just figure it out on the fly and wing it. And, you know, I still fight with that mentality, you know, on a daily basis, but I realized really quickly that that doesn't work in SEAL training. And so, I failed and, got sent out to a ship, and, I had some growing up to do. And so I consider it a blessing. And, you know, it was just another time in my life where I had to dig deep into the failure and figure out why it happened and take ownership of my responsibility in it and correct those deficiencies.
And see, I think that's awesome, man, because, I mean, a lot of people, and you know, Eli, would just probably quit after that and say, well, screw it, I'm time to move on to other things. A lot of people just, after the first failure, they don't get back on the horse and they don't
they don't go after it again. And it's really cool and admirable with you is that you said, this is what I want to do. I want to serve my country. I mean, you were serving your country, but about, I want to be a SEAL and I'm going to go for it again.
Absolutely. And I found that to be true. And everything that I've ever done that's been awesome has always had adversity and failure and, you know, a big learning curve. And, you know, I've seen multiple instances in every single pursuit, major pursuit in life that I've had where I've come up short off the bat. And I think that's one of the biggest things that separates those that are successful from those that aren't is just this attitude that, you know, if you're not failing, you're not going big enough and you're not really trying. And the lessons that you learn along the way, that's where the real gold is at. So just don't be afraid of failure.
Yeah, and you got it. You, especially in business, man, you have to. Nobody wakes up one day. The Gates didn't wake up one day and say, "Well, shit, I never failed in my life, and now I'm successful." Right? I mean, you have to fail.
Exactly, it's part of it.
Now, you studied criminal justice and criminology in college.
I did, and I really enjoyed it, and I probably would have stayed. I might have gone down that road had the University of Arizona when I transferred from Arizona Western. Mm-hmm. To the University of Arizona, they had a good, criminology program, but they threw you right into administrative justice, and it almost became, almost had more of a business focus to it. And I was just wasn't, didn't fire me up anymore. And, mm-hmm. I kind of switched gears at that point. Cause I found the study of criminology just fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be a sheepdog. I always wanted to serve in one capacity. You know, I was more geared towards the military. But then when I started studying criminology, I thought, I might, get into law enforcement. And, my education path just didn't line up with that career. And so I switched gears to, okay, what can I do to just get my degree as fast as possible so that I can have an opportunity to become an officer in the military? Which didn't happen because as I was starting my last year at the University of Arizona, 9/11 happened. And so, I joined the Navy, like a week later and the rest is history.
So was that the catalyst of you joining the military, Eli? I mean, did you come from a military background, but it was just 9/11, correct?
Yeah, it was, 9/11. I knew I wanted to do it. I knew I wanted to try out and try to become a SEAL, but 9/11 was definitely the catalyst for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you always have the entrepreneurial bug deep inside you, or was it just something that just, kind of spawned after your time in the military? Or I know you started the company when you were in the military.
Yeah.
Did you always have that bug or what?
No, I didn't. And I thought that, businessmen were like, I thought I was honestly too dumb to be a businessman. I had to ace calculus and physics and chemistry and all these classes that, I barely stayed awake during. And what I realized was that because I was always a free-spirited type guy. I loved creativity. I loved working with people. I loved, being on a team. And I loved setting my sights high, but it had to be something that I was interested in, something where I could, really instill my vision. And so when I got the opportunity to join a business while I was in the Navy back in 2011, a group of guys formed a business called Acumen Performance Group, and they asked me to come on board and be a founding partner. I jumped at the chance, and that's when I caught the entrepreneurial bug.
Yeah.
And a couple years later, we were still doing it. It just wasn't generating enough revenue to provide for my family, and I knew I was getting out. And so I took some of the lessons that I'd learned from that one, and I rolled them into Bottle Breacher. And thankfully, that one was a success.
And you guys are killing it. Now, how did you get the idea? I mean, how did you get the idea that I'm going to make these products to, and you got all kinds of products, by the way, that people, I'll have your site linked up after in the show notes, but I mean, you got t-shirts, but the main premise is having a bottle opener that you take rounds, right? 50 cal or whatever, and you make it into a bottle opener.
Yeah, it started, my little brother was a helicopter pilot in the Marine Corps. He flew Cobras, and he went to the Philippines and on a deployment, and he was cruising around the Philippines, and he saw a generic 50 caliber bottle opener, so he bought it and he brought it back and gave it to me, and I thought it was one of the coolest gifts I'd ever seen.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, and so I said, this thing is really cool, but I bet I can make it better. And so I started working on it, and sure enough, I made it better, and then started selling them online.
Now, I know your wife was part of the – I mean, she is part of the company. I mean, you guys both run it. Now, how did you get your – was your wife at – because I'm married too, and sometimes I bring my wife with ideas, and she's like, we ain't doing that. I mean, was she skeptical at first, or was she totally on board?
Skeptical is an understatement to say. She, yeah, you know, it was one of those – and I can't really blame her looking back. I had no business acumen. I had no business experience. All she'd really known me as was, a Navy SEAL. And so I think she was thinking to herself, what is he going to do with the product development and starting an online business? But I actually convinced her to help me out, help me list some products online. And we started doing really well with it. And she was actually running another online business. After the revenues got high enough, there was no way she could ignore it anymore. And I told her, I was like, hey, this is actually how we're going to provide for our family when we get out of the Navy. And, you know, it was one of the toughest periods in our marriage, but I'm glad that we had no choice but to walk through it together, because it just made us stronger.
Well, and I'm glad you guys stuck with your dream, because I'm sure you had opportunities after you got out of the Navy. You could go work and do contracting work or whatever. I'm sure opportunities were plenty for you. Maybe, I'm assuming. I don't know. But, I'm just glad you stuck with it. You were on Shark Tank. I watched the episode. It was amazing. Can you talk about that experience?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience for Jen and I. What the cameras don't show is before we went into the tank, her and I, before we went through those wood doors that opened up, we said a prayer, and we asked for guidance, wisdom, and direction and favor. So, and that's exactly what we got. It went really well for us. We actually walked out of the tank and kind of looked at each other like, did that really just happen? Because honestly, there really wasn't one zinger lobbed across our bow. And, there wasn't any diminishment. There wasn't any, snarky comments. I mean, they were really respectful. After they held the product, looked at it, and then heard what the sales were in accompaniment with our story, they were all very interested, it was just a real blessing.
Yeah, and working with Mark Cuban and Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful, it's got to be an experience too.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some of the suggestions out there, Eli? Because I know you got to go in a couple minutes, and you got to hop on a plane. What are some of the tips and suggestions you would give budding entrepreneurs, people that want to take that leap? I mean, you guys did it, you and your wife. I know it's difficult. Most cops I know, and you probably a lot of first responders too. Most first responders I know have a business that they're working on. They're side hustling on the side with something, but they're kind of hesitant to take that step forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's why I think one of the best advice, I love the side hustle. That's what I recommend to people, because it allows you to, continue to hold down the fort, take care of the responsibilities, but still work on, something you're passionate about. And that's why I recommend the side hustle. But I also recommend, while you're doing the side hustle, you keep in mind, follow the green, not the dream. It's really important that entrepreneurs understand this a lot, because we talked about it a second ago, how somebody will start a business and it won't generate capital, or it won't be successful. And then they'll think to themselves, oh, I'm just not cut out for this. I'm no good at this. And then they'll just go back to whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. And if I lined up 100 entrepreneurs for you, I guarantee the majority of them could go through a lineage of failures as they, and not only other businesses they'd started up, but mistakes they had made along the way. And so one of the first things these guys and gals that are starting these businesses, is they need to prove their concept early, mm-hmm. before they invest a ton of time and capital into it. And what I mean by that is, prove really early on that people will actually open up their wallets and pull out that plastic or that green paper and give it to you repeatedly. That's what proving your concept is. If you haven't done that, you don't have you might have a start, but you don't have squat. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, people will dump years and years and, you know, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars into their idea, their baby, before they ever prove the concept. And that's, in my world, that's a big mistake. So prove your concept early.
Now, can you elaborate on that a little bit, Eli? Prove the concept, meaning taking samples around to people, doing surveys, all that stuff. What are you talking about?
That's what a lot of people think. They think surveys. Yeah, I've talked to people that have done surveys. They'll present me analytics when they want me to invest in their idea or partner up with them. And they'll tell me, hey, within this city, there's, you know, 350,000 people that fall within our target demographic who have revenue ranging from, you know, 50,000 to 125,000. And this area is prime for, and they'll ramble off all these analytics. And that's why when you watch the Shark Tank, the first thing you hear those sharks asking are, what are your sales? Because they know where the rubber meets the road. The rubber meets the road. And that's why people say in entrepreneurship and in business, cash is king. If you are not making cash, then you have to change course. You have to, you know, flip things up to where you are making cash. And so if you're not making cash, you need to keep adjusting the recipe until you make cash, or until you've tried every possible combination of that recipe, and then you say, okay, it's probably not this business. I'm going to take what I've learned. I'm going to take the Rolodex of people and contacts I now have. I know that guy over there that can build a website. I know this lady over here who's a great accountant. I know this guy over here who's great with production and new product development, and you start building out this Rolodex and this knowledge base, and then you roll it into the next idea.
Yeah. What's the goal of Bottle Preacher? What's your vision for the company, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, the vision for the company initially was to just provide for my family. Mm-hmm. My plan is really to continue to develop and produce the most badass man gifts that have a military theme right here in the USA, employ Americans, and pump money back into the US economy. That's really what my goal is. And further on top of that, it's to use my platform to fight for things that I'm passionate about, like supporting our first responders, supporting our veteran organizations, writing articles about why it's important to stand for the national anthem and the flag. I mean, I tell people all the time, people ask me all the time, Eli, why do you get political? Why do you talk about things like that? That's the number one thing as a businessman that you're not supposed to do. And I say, you know what? I love my country and I love my fellow Americans a lot more than I'll ever love my business. So I fully understand, to me, there are way more important things in life than business. And I feel that's just one area that God has me in right now, and I'm proud to do it, and I'm going to keep doing it until He shuts that door.
Well, that's so powerful, and I agree with you 100%. A lot of people out there just sit on the sidelines, and you're out on the front. You're on the plane. You're on the field, actually making a difference. And I commend you. I know you're affiliated with Whiskey Patriots. Kyle Reyes, correct?
Yeah.
He was on the show, and just amazing. You talked about failure and how important it is. How do you get people to realize, and I think it's just part of our conditioning when we grow up, man. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, we're taught to, maybe not everybody, but, you know, failure is bad. You can't fail. How do you change that mindset, man? How did you say, you know what, I was washed out, I didn't put my mind into it, you know, when I went through Hell Week or Buds, and I got washed out, I'm gonna go after it again. How do you convince people to do that, man? What's your advice on that, to keep going after it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. A lot of times, you know, you just need that example. You need somebody there in your corner that you look up to, that you respect, you know, who will encourage you and be a solid sounding board for you. You know, it's like, it's kind of like I heard the other day from kind of an advisor of mine that I can know who somebody is by who they hang out with and what books they're reading. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. What's coming in? Like, what are you feeding yourself? Are you hanging out with people that you look up to, that you respect, and that impress you with the fruit that they're bearing, or are you kind of hanging out with people that kind of hold you back? Because if you are, you're making a big mistake, and those are the people that hold you back are not the people that are going to encourage you and, you know, be a sounding board for you when you need somebody to uplift you and to encourage you to keep going. And I think a lot of it is upbringing as well. Like, even with my kids now, I actually really, even though it's hard as a parent to watch your kids fail, I always look for the opportunity, you know, to speak a little truth into their lives and talk to them about how this is actually important. You know, this failure that you just experienced and this adversity that you're walking through, you know, because there's no way for you to become a Navy SEAL. There's no way for you to become a successful entrepreneur. In the Bible, it says there's no way for you to become mature, complete, and lacking in nothing without facing adversities of many kinds. And so, you know, it's just, it's educating yourself. It's having a little fire in the belly, and it's surrounding yourself with, you know, people who will make you sharper.
Well, Eli Crane, you're a very humble man, man. I got a, you know, somebody who's running a successful company, and you know it, and you see people in business, Eli, that, you know, they only care about one thing. I mean, you're a very humble man. We love what you're doing. If people want to reach out to your brother, how can they do that? Just through the bottlebreacher.com website or what?
Yeah, they can do that. They can also follow. We also have Bottle Breacher all over social media. It's just Bottle Breacher at Facebook, Instagram, etc. But I also just started my own social media, so it's just Eli Crane, CEO, I believe, at Facebook, Instagram, etc. So they can reach out to me that way as well.
Well, Eli Crane, thank you so much, brother. Thank you for your service, what you're doing for this great country, supporting military and first responders. Much success to you in the future, sir. I know you got to hop on a plane. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time to come on and give some really good advice to the listeners. We sure do appreciate it.
Right on, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.